This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Also very accurate is the information that you can find on mbslive.net. And we have the founder and the awesome CEO of MBS Live with us, Matt Graham. Sorry, that sounded a little game hostish there, Matt. What's happening?
So, yeah, we have some allegedly accurate info on MBS Live, and I have some info for you on a quick rundown of what went on last week, but we'll focus more on what's coming up ahead. And yes, bonds are wandering, according to Les, and he's right, and we'll talk about how much they might wander and what that range looks like. But that's definitely the theme, and that's really the thesis. So as far as last week was concerned, we came into it at, well, the previous week, yields were as low as they'd been in a long time, in more than a month. Nice push back against the rate spike that has defined most of 2021 so far. But right out of the gate, we started weakening. Two back-to-back weeks where 10-year yields had bounced at almost exactly 1.53. And so that is a technical level of some significance at this point, and it helps us define the lower end of the range in the near term. So the week was really spent moving up, up, and away from that. And there was a little bit of a pause right out of the gate because we had a big miss in durable goods. That's an important economic report. And it came in at 0.5 versus 2.3 forecast. And so what was really interesting about that, Dave, is that we have seen economic data be fairly well disconnected from bond market reactions. And that's been easy to explain because we're waiting to see what the economy really looks like when we get more out of the woods in terms of COVID and lockdowns and all that. But we are now seeing a return of that traditional correlation where bonds are actually moving in the direction you'd expect after they get a certain piece of economic news, as long as economic news is big enough. In the case of durable goods, it gave the sell-off in bonds a little bit of pause as the new week began, but it was ultimately not enough to derail sellers' intentions. Those were most easily seen after the 7-year treasury auction of all things. And that's a crazy thing to say because 7-year auctions have not historically been big market movers, but they have been some of the biggest in 2021 so far. In fact, our worst day of the year was a 7-year auction day in response to a 7-year auction. And this one wasn't nearly as bad, but it was another obvious instance of the 7-year auction kicking off a little bit more bond market weakness. Wednesday was the Fed day. And depending on what you heard about that, your takeaway might be a little bit different. But here's what's important. First off, there's some crazy stuff ahead of it. We had some news media and even some analyst types talking about the potential for the Fed to talk about tapering. And I thought that was a little bit odd. They've been really clear about the fact that they're not there yet. Nonetheless, I think we're going to be hung up about it because that hurt so bad in 2013. But we really want to make sure they tell us when it's going to happen. So it was the first question again. Powell snuffed it out right away. And he further said that we're a long way from our goals. That's a repeat. And it's going to be some time before substantial progress towards those goals, and it's not yet time to talk about tapering. And he stayed really dovish throughout the press conference. He went out of his way to define the temporary factors that are going to boost headline inflation, and it ended up that the inflation reports that came out later in the week were right in line with forecasts and didn't do anything to refute what Powell had just said. So the takeaway for markets was overwhelmingly positive, and bonds did rally that afternoon. But then the following morning, after a round of super strong economic data in Europe and some positioning ahead of GDP, yields were up again. Then there was a technical break above 1.62 in 10-year yields, and we were at the highest yields in 3 weeks shortly thereafter. But held ground coming into this week under 1.62 right now. And now we have some economic data that is a much more legitimate slate of data that has a bigger chance to move the market. Right out of the gate this morning, we had ISM manufacturing PMI much weaker than expected, and it produced an obvious reaction in the bond market. As the week goes on, it's sort of a Monday, Wednesday, Friday thing. The significant data leapfrogs Tuesday and Thursday. So we'll pick back up on Wednesday with ADP employment, which to some can be a little bit of a sneak peek at NFC, the big jobs report. And then ISM non-manufacturing at 10 a.m. Analysts are forecasting that that will come in at 64.3, which isn't much of a change from the 63.7 last month. But the big to-do would be, of course, Friday's jobs report. We've seen quite a few jobs reports that haven't moved markets until the last one. The last one definitely did. And if this one comes in at around a million again, then it's going to move markets too, even if it comes in as expected, because I think a lot of traders want to see the economy put its money where forecasters' mouths are. I don't know how to say that, but I think it's like everybody hopes that the trajectory of the labor market recovery is as good as it might be. Yeah. But until we actually see it come in the numbers, we might not have traded that all the way. It all adds up to this range that we talked about. And we've been talking about it for several weeks now. This is the intermission time frame for the bond market. We had a sharp rise in rates at the beginning of the year. As far as treasuries are concerned, it actually started in last August. And now we've reached the point where that levels off. And it's leveled off at a historically interesting and logical zone, because it sort of leveled off on the way down heading into COVID, where we had a little bit of indecision. Is this going to be the worst pandemic in the history of the world, or is this going to be something that blows over in short order? And while those questions were still debatable, February, January, bonds were trading in the same range they are now, and then they broke out. So coming back in the other direction, it's a similar reaction function. If things end up being as good as they might be, then the breakout would logically be to the upside for yields, up past a ceiling of, say, 1.75. Let's call that the ceiling for now. And if things deteriorate for whatever reason and the economy doesn't heal as expected, then the floor could be, you know, 1.53 based on recent levels. But you could stretch the bottom of that range all the way down to 1.38, I feel, or the 1.3s, let's be a little bit more vague, without really upsetting the apple cart too much in terms of past precedent. Either way, the point is sideways intermission right now, waiting to see how this shifting of gears economically goes. And then the breakout should logically occur higher if things are better for the economy in COVID, and it should occur lower in yield if things are worse. Pretty much that simple.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much that simple. We only hope. Non-farm payroll, that's going to be a big, big number. And we got to continue to hope for the numbers. The projections are good. Excellent. I appreciate it. Matt, when you're looking at the volatility, are we going to continue to see some pretty wild volatility?
I think you have to approach it with maybe a little bit wider expectation for what's normal right now. And I think that anything between 1.75 and 1.5 is a fairly stable range in this environment and in terms of 10-year yields. And mortgage rates have been more stable for that matter. So it really depends on the lender, though. I guess before I say mortgage rates have been stable, it really depends on the lender. Some lenders didn't move as much as others recently. And there is still a very wide distribution of available rates depending on the lender. Our office, 3/8 to half a point from one another on the exact same scenario. And one other thing I should mention, especially since Alice isn't here today, is that there were more kind of rumblings behind the scenes of people contacting Fannie and Freddie, talking about non-owner and seconds.
Right.
And Freddie's official word is that they're going to limit their portfolio to 5% as opposed to 7% like Fannie. And that is likely to have an impact on non-owner and second loan pricing this week. And people that have those deals in the pipeline might want to take a look at getting those locked in.
Good report, Matt. Love it. Up there in the Pacific Northwest, starting to get decent temperatures. Talking to my friend of mine up in Seattle then while I was driving home last night from the airport. And he was saying, man, we got up to 57 degrees and we saw the sun for at least 10 minutes up there. Remember those days? Yeah. Appreciate you. Appreciate what you do up there for all of us across the nation. You do a great, great job. And I encourage people to check it out. Go to mbslive.net when you go sign up. Put in the code LOL in the code section, and I'll get you a trial without a credit card required. So, Matt, good job. Appreciate you so much.
Have a good one.
Next week, we've got an old friend and one of the original voices on the Lickin' on Lindy podcast, Andy Schell, Dr. Andy Schell. He's now gotten one PhD, working on his second PhD. And he's going to be talking about some of the information he's coming out of his new mini book that he's just releasing. It's called Strategy, Leadership, and Culture. Very interesting what he's doing. I have the privilege of talking to Andy. We're good friends. We get together for as often as we can. We're both extremely busy, so don't get together as much as I would like. But I've invited him to come on because leadership is a big, big topic that we're doing a ton of consulting and coaching on, and I'm really interested in hearing what he's developed. It will stimulate your thoughts on leadership and culture and how does strategy fit in on all of that. So next week's hot topic, Dr. Andy Schell. And we're looking forward to having you. Special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, CMLA, Indicom, who has been the subject of this Hot Topic segment, as well as Incelerate, Mobility, Mortgage Market Intelligence, Modex, as well as the MBA, Knowledge Coop, Lenders One, and Mortgage Collaborative. Check out all of our sponsors on our sponsorship page on the Lincoln on Lending podcast. And when you're there, remember to sign up for mbslive.net and use the code LOL. Appreciate you all as listeners. Thank you so much for the many, many notes that have come in through LinkedIn and text messages and emails. Your encouragement is really, really appreciated. We sit and do this every week and have done for over 10 years, and it means so much when we hear from you, our listeners. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everyone, and look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week. Thanks for listening.